Yes. Okay, everyone, please take a seat. And what we're going to do is slightly rearrange the order. So we're going to have the EO report now. So, Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Chair.
Item 24.
This is item 24, the Executive Officer's Report. So I'm going to just run through it real quick, and you stop me if you have questions on anything in the benefit of time here. So there's a pair of 401 tables there, applications received and certifications issued for 401s. That's for the period of June 1st to August 10th of this year. Next is an update on the Buckley Road trichloroethylene plume near the office in San Luis Obispo County. And some updates. The one high note I would point out is that we're having a public meeting on November 1st at our office for the community. It was very well attended last time. We maxed out our room. And just point out, you can read about some of the updates on some groundwater monitoring we did recently, too.
Mr. Robertson,
yes.
Could you remind me again how many families are affected in the region?
So, Taya might know the number of families. I think there were a total of 67 wells that were tested in the area, and this is a rural residential area, so pretty much it's a well per household, not exactly, but that's about the ratio there. So, and I think some of the historic information was that 14 of the wells tested had TCE or trichloroethylene above the safe drinking water standard. Okay. Without further questions, I'm going to jump on to the underground storage tank closure update. So if you recall in our July meeting, Ms. Becky Steinbrunner came to the public forum and mentioned a closure in Aptos Village. Staff reviewed all of the elements associated with the case, our underground storage tank staff. Based on their assessment, they are convinced that the tank case was closed completely appropriately in accordance with the low threat closure policy, State Board's low threat closure policy. There had been some allegations that sampling occurred in a place different from the tank's location. Our staff communicated with the county environmental health staff. They assured us that was not at all the case, took exception to that claim, and we're comfortable. We issued a letter to Ms. Steinbrunner in August, and that is included in your folders, and that's closure for us, no pun intended. That's the finish line on this issue for us, okay? And moving on.
I'm sorry, John is here. John Pierre, can I ask him a question? You said it was closure. Does the closure happen after this August 11th letter?
No, the closure the true closure of the case happened before that. Ms. Steinbrunner was calling into question if it was appropriate. We did a subsequent evaluation of Santa Cruz County Environmental Health's work and closure of the case, and we are in agreement, our staff are in agreement, that the closure is appropriate.
Right. So did this August 11th letter from Ms. Becky Steinbrunner come after your staff assessment?
Yes.
So are you going to assess the letter, or it's done?
No. I'm sorry. Ms. Steinbrunner came to us in July, and she actually came to us prior to that, too. So we've actually assessed her claims twice. And the letter sent to her in August was subsequent to both of her requests.
Okay.
Okay, so it is the end of the process for us. You bet. Okay, moving on to the Dr. Hunter talked a little bit about the pilot test, UCLA's pilot test for wellhead treatment of nitrate-impacted wells in the Salinas, and we've provided an update on our, I'll call it permitting with air quotes. We didn't permit. We just attached monitoring requirements to what we call the reject from the treatment systems. And we're trying to understand what's coming out of the treatment systems and does it have a potential impact to water quality. Mindful of the fact that these treatment systems are treating impacted water such that it can be used for drinking for disadvantaged communities. So we're trying to keep the big picture in mind here too. So we have completed our work. I sent an email to UCLA, and they're happy. They're moving on to county-level evaluation. And then they need to go back to the State Water Board for funding for the monitoring that we've put on this. And we've told them, we'll support you. You know, we'll be there with you on that. So it's on its way. It's out of our court and on its way.
And then the next phase, I understand, is really going to be involving Division of Drinking Water.
Right, permitting of the systems themselves.
Okay.
That's, I think, kind of the final hoop of the permitting process, and then they can start subsequent installation. It's slow.
Just a comment. When I spoke of it this morning, I referred to the discharge as effluent. That's probably not correct. You called it reject water.
Right, and then it's kind of a term of science associated with treatment systems, particularly reverse osmosis treatment systems, because you split the flow. One is concentrated, the other is clean.
Right.
And we call the concentrated one reject.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, moving on from UCLA to the...
May I have one more comment,
sure.
Mr. Chair, just quickly? I just want to acknowledge staff on this. And I know Mr. Robertson and, in particular, Angela Schroeder. I know there are others.
Right. So now we've included in the party Howard Kolb and Christina Olmos, who are on the wastewater side of it. You know, Angela and I have been sort of the disadvantaged community replacement water advocates for the last, you know, for me it's probably 4 or 5 years at this point. And we brought in these staff to deal with the wastewater side of this project. But always trying to keep in mind what I mentioned, that this is a disadvantaged community trying to get to some safe drinking water.
Mm-hmm. But again, the data that comes out of this is going to be invaluable to scale up the potential for scale up statewide.
Right. We want this to proliferate
in
theory as one of the solutions. There's no silver bullet.
Right.
This is one of the strategies to get to safe drinking water.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to move on to the Salinas Basin Ag Stewardship Group item. And you have some metrics there in the table. Perry indicated that I spoke with Perry at one of the breaks, Perry Clausen. He is engaged in this in one of his many hats. He represents CURES, which is the contractor for the stewardship group for replacement water. He says they are accelerating in terms of number of deliveries, and he says they should comfortably meet the metric of 35 systems delivered with replacement water. He feels comfortable with that. And that's kind of what we expected. It would take some ramp on time. It's like a startup in a sense. You're starting a little company, so it takes them a little bit of time to get traction. Now they're starting to get traction, he indicates. And that's about what we expected. We're hoping that by the second half of the first year, they'd really start to get some momentum.
And, you know, perhaps end of this year or beginning of next year would be good to request Perry to come and give us a little update in person.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Question, but that's all on the table. Why? There's a number of water systems declining replacement water.
Right.
And what? Why?
One has RO, and the other two declined. They aren't. They didn't want it. Any replacement water.
Do we know why? Okay. Angela Schroeder. We don't know why at the moment, but we've asked the stewardship group to follow up. And actually, the Office of Enforcement is planning to have a verification and auditing to make sure that the outreach loop has been closed and they actually are fully informed about the process. But right now, it's just disinterest is what the reason is. Thank you.
So I think as we stated in May, one of our objectives here was to test why rejection happened. So we had an understanding that it wasn't something inherent in the outreach to delivery that was getting in the way of acceptance of replacement water. It's important for us to test. So Angela confirmed that OE, Office of Enforcement, will be testing. Okay, so that brings us to the much awaited domestic well sampling project in San Luis Obispo County. So years ago, Matt Keeling and I dreamt of a domestic well sampling project to fill the donut hole or the giant data gap that is domestic well water quality. And it gets to a real basic thing. It's potentially a human health issue here, not understanding what you're drinking and what you're exposing your house to. It has finally come to fruition, and Jacqueline Tack, our Civic Sparks fellow, is going to talk to you a little bit more about that. She has a brief presentation on that.
Good afternoon, Chair Wolf and members of the board. My name is Jacqueline Tack, and I have been working as a Civic Spark Water Fellow at the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board since October of 2016. Civic Spark is a program sponsored by the Local Government Commission. It's an AmeriCorps program. And through this program, I was working on the San Luis Obispo County Domestic Well Sampling Project, which I will give you a brief overview of today. What I'm going to go over is the project's purpose and goals. Then I'm going to go on to describe the project's implementation steps. After that, I will go over our preliminary results. Then I will finish up by summarizing the project's successes and next steps. So as I mentioned before, I'm a Civic Spark Water Fellow and Civic Spark's main purpose is to build local capacity and local government agencies. So a big part of this project was collaboration between Civic Spark, the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board, as well as San Luis Obispo County Environmental Health Services. The primary objective of this project was to provide free drinking water sampling as well as analytical services to approximately 100 domestic well users, as well as share groundwater quality data associated with domestic wells, with the water boards, local government, and with the public. The funding for this program was provided by the Groundwater Assessment and Protection Program. The project included four main implementation steps. These consisted of choosing priority sampling areas, conducting community outreach, and the actual sampling analysis of the water. The focus areas of Arroyo Grande, Santa Margarita, California Valley, and Paso Robles were chosen because available waterborne information indicated that there may be impairments of the water quality in these areas, and there is also a lack of domestic well data in these areas. San Luis Obispo County Environmental Health provided us with a list of contact information for all of the well owners and the entire county. This helped streamline the outreach component of the project tremendously. After the phase areas were chosen, we sent out between 400 and 500 mailouts to potential participants with four different options to sign up to participate. These options included an online survey, a phone number, a project-specific email address, as well as a QR code that you can use with any smartphone. The community response to this program was extremely positive. Projects like these in the past tend to have gotten anywhere between 5% and 10% response rate, and this project has gotten well over 50%. I think these interest numbers indicate that this type of service is not only welcomed in these areas, but is also needed. To keep lab costs down, all the water is being sampled by waterboard staff and then taken to a certified lab to be analyzed. Once the results are available, they are uploaded to GeoTracker, which is very beneficial to both the water boards, local agencies, as well as to the public. This slide is a summary of the sampling parameters used throughout this project. These sampling parameters were chosen because they're critical contaminants of concern, as well as consistent with the San Luis Obispo County Environmental Health Services requirements for public water systems. Again, these analyses are conducted by a certified lab. As of today, we have sampled 61 private wells. We have 44 results back, and of these 44 wells, 11 of them exceed the primary safe drinking water standard of 10 micrograms per liter of arsenic. 5 of them exceed the primary drinking water standard of 10 milligrams per liter of nitrate as nitrogen. 1 of them exceed the safe drinking water standard for cadmium, and 3 of them exceed the primary safe drinking water standard for fluoride. We have provided all of these results to the well owners, along with resources for well maintenance and public health information related to these drinking water standards. I'm now going to show you the preliminary results graphically so you can understand the range of them. This is a summary of the nitrate results we've received thus far. The red line on the graph represents the primary safe drinking water standard for nitrate, which I mentioned before, is 10 milligrams per liter of nitrate as nitrogen. The results range from non-detect to 37.4 milligrams per liter. As I mentioned before, we've gotten lab results back for 44 of the wells. 5 of them exceed the primary safe drinking water standard, which is about 11% of the wells. This is a summary of the arsenic results. Again, the red line represents the safe drinking water standard at 10 micrograms per liter. We've gotten a total of 11 exceedances for arsenic. Out of the 44 wells, this would be 25%, or 1 out of every 4 wells sampled so far. Here's a map of the preliminary results we've gotten thus far. The green samples represent the wells that meet the safe drinking water standards. The red represent the wells that have arsenic standards, that have arsenic exceedances above safe drinking water standards. And the black, which you can see are located on the southeast part of the map, those represent the wells that have nitrate above safe drinking water standards. We are still sampling in the Paso Robles areas and are awaiting results from the Santa Margarita sampling we've done. In summary, some major successes of this project include interacting with the community in a way that is not typical of many government agencies. As I mentioned before, Water Board staff is doing all of the domestic well sampling, which allows us to establish a face-to-face relationship with these domestic well owners instead of just looking at them as numbers on a sheet or field point name on a map. This project, being one of the first of its kind, fills the domestic well data gaps within Slo County in a way that has not been done before. While doing this, it allows an increased and more comprehensive opportunity for groundwater quality assessment. The project has provided participants, as well as community members, with the tools to make informed decisions about the quality of their drinking water and provide education on the importance of maintaining their domestic wells. We plan on completing the sampling in San Luis Obispo County in October of 2017. Implementing a similar project in Santa Barbara County would be a huge next step, and the potential logistics of this project are still being worked out. You can learn more about the project and all the resources I explained previously by clicking on that link at the bottom, which will take you to the project's website, where I mentioned before the survey is located that potential participants can use to sign up with. My Civic Spark Fellowship actually ended beginning of September of 2017, but luckily I've been able to stay at the Central Coast Water Board with funding through CCAMP and GAP to finish out this project as well as the related work. Thank you all for the opportunity to present my Civic Spark project to you. At this point, I'll answer any questions that you may have.
Yes, Mike.
Yeah, I note that an ancillary goal of the project is to test a Dutch system where you dip a strip in the water, and then you take a picture of it with your smartphone, and it gives you a nitrate result. Do you have any sense of how that piece of it's going? Is that actually working?
So the Deltares app, the Deltares nitrate app that we are piloting, we are still analyzing the accuracy of the app, But looking at the results as of now, it's really hard to tell at this point. It's definitely been a learning process for both us and Del Taurus.
The question I have is, and I don't see it mentioned here, maybe I overlooked you or staff mentioning this to us. So what happens next with these wells that have exceedances, if anything?
So that's an area of coordination that we're working on with the San Luis Obispo County of Environmental Health Services. So one of the benefits that Jacqueline mentioned was that this project is sampling wells are not regulated. So the county doesn't regulate them, and of course the water board does not regulate them. However, this project has encouraged them to increase their groundwater well monitoring requirements. As Jacqueline mentioned, San Luis Obispo County now has an ordinance or implementation of an ordinance to sample these wells upon construction. So in addition to providing these results to the well owner, San Luis Obispo County is now considering whether or not to increase the level of this type of monitoring and reporting for those type of wells in the county.
Right. I applaud this effort because I think it's so needed, and it fills this gap where the counties are not doing it. And I really want to see this done for Santa Barbara County, because they haven't done as much as Slo County, I think, in terms of updating their small well requirements, monitoring requirements. So perhaps some good data that shows them that there's an issue there.
Yeah, I really
do motivate them to do more.
Right. I really do want to also recognize the leadership at Slo County Environmental Health that this is really a change. John didn't mention that, I think it was last year, John, that we went to the California Conference Directors of Environmental Health, and we were kind of like willing to throw this money out to the counties to conduct this type of sampling and didn't have any positive response at that time. Then Buckley happened in San Luis Obispo County, and they were willing to pilot this effort. And now they really want to use this program as well as GeoTracker to manage that type of data.
I'll tell you, the psychology involved then is that the counties will say they don't have the money to do it. And so you kind of call their bluff in a way by going ahead and saying, we got the money, just help us get access. And then they're kind of shamed after the fact in facing the data. And that now the onus is on them. What are you going to do about this?
So when we spoke with environmental health directors for the Central Coast, we talked to them about, we have a data management structure already in place. You can push the cost of that onto the state or externalize the cost of that. And one of the real captures here are opportunities beyond informing people who own domestic wells of their own water quality is you create a pathway and an experience for each county, as we piloted in each county. Now, all of the new wells, their data quality will be captured and uploaded to GeoTracker. We've created that pattern or that memory for them. They know the pathway now to capture and look at the water quality data. So that's coming to Santa Barbara County. Not there yet. But San Luis is there. And I wanted to add to San Luis Obispo County for getting in front here on this issue.
I want to jump in here too and just say that Jeff, you were working on this issue when you were chair. You and Roger were meeting with the directors of the health departments, and we weren't getting anywhere. You know, we were trying to establish a collaborative relationship. And so we've been trying for years to establish this relationship and joint actions to deal with the domestic well problem. And Angela has been relentless in trying to coordinate this and establish this relationship, and has been working with the health departments and the Division of Drinking Water at the State Board. And we've made a lot of progress now. We are coordinating on many different fronts, all three groups. And I just want to acknowledge all the work that Angela has put into this and the progress that we've made.
I think it's great. I applaud you guys for it. And Roger and I met in this building with the environmental health director and just kind of got thumbs down. No, it was actually the chief administrator, we were trying to pitch in terms of doing something with their budget.
and their ordinances, and it was just kind of indifference. So we will get to them one way or the other. We'll figure out how to do it.
Tenacity always wins.
Yeah.
Right. All right.
So, Monica?
Just a quick comment, because I do know a little bit of background on this. And I just I want to encourage Angela to pursue a path forward with the AmeriCorps program, because it was this is not the typical way in which this particular Civic Spark, the Civic Spark program, is designed to work directly with small communities. And we managed to get over those hurdles and connect with the small community. But I think that in this, then that was the other part of the work that the Civic Spark program did. So we may not see AmeriCorps necessarily continuing with us, but I hope that Angela succeeds in helping the program directors to see the value in it, because I think the regional board is in a position to see where the need is and to build on years of understanding what the resistance is, you know, to doing this. But now the value, Angela and I have had so many conversations about the value of data in breaking down that resistance and realizing what that data can do in many, to meeting many needs of the municipalities and the county as a whole. But I just wanted to quickly, to understand better your, a little bit of your background and how you melded, what was your experience in melding science with that, the kind of social cultural component of reaching out, the sensitivity of talking with people about their safe, the security and safety of the water they're drinking, and what did that add to your understanding of how difficult these problems are?
That's a great question. So I think, as I mentioned during the presentation, I think a big portion of the success of this project has a lot to do with water board staff physically going out and establishing these face-to-face relationships with the members of the community. And especially because the water board office is in San Luis Obispo, I think that's a big advantage, because they're not just community members, they're not just somebody that shares a county with us, they're neighbors in some sense. And with that builds a level of trust. And when we're giving these people their results, we also include not only their results and kind of leave them to dry, but this relationship has been established, and we want to make sure that they fully understand what their results mean, that they fully understand different options, or maybe, you know, I think that probably has a lot to do with making the conversations easier when explaining results. In cases where that's not necessarily available, I think always having that in the back of your mind that they're not just a field point name or a number on a piece of paper, but they're neighbors. And I think this project has been a huge advantage that we've been able to do that.
Bruce? Yeah, Jacqueline, I just want to say you're amazing. You remind me of America's Got Talent. You know, I feel like one of those judges. And the world is upside down sometimes. And it's things like this that should go on America's Got Talent, not some of the other things we see. But thank you so much for being such a good representative of Civic Spark and AmeriCorps, and getting the results, and your composure and your presentation was great, very well organized. So just, you did great all around. And thanks to the staff that worked with you, because that's quite a sort of inaugural project, and the results were as good as we could have expected. So now it seems like it's just going to keep going due to this first step being so well done. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
And you know, since totally AmeriCorps has had a great presence this year in the San Luis Obispo area, because the Coastal San Luis RCD has had a couple of AmeriCorps individuals working for the last several months. So also I want to, you know, thank you for your good work. Just as a little note, particularly to our resident geologist here, where you see the arsenic, a lot of these formation are Franciscan formations, and they're notorious for arsenic. And, you know, some of those wells were probably tested many years ago, but the arsenic threshold has changed, and so many of the wells today are no longer, you know, meeting the drinking water standard, just as a little sidebar. So thank you.
So I just want to underscore one point that kind of slipped by. So the response rate on this was in the vicinity of 50%. That's unprecedented. Typically, these voluntary monitoring efforts get about 10 to maybe 15 is a good response rate. So that's an extraordinary response rate.
If we were to inform those that didn't respond now with the results of what we found, they might be interested in finding out whether they're drinking arsenic in their water. Who knows?
Okay, so...
Okay, so we're supposed to be out of here at 5, and it is 5:03. So I will say, go ahead in your spare time if you want, take a look at the rest of the year report. We're just going to do a bunch of hiring, is what it says, because we have a bunch of new positions. And then we will address the other two items. We can address them tomorrow, potentially following our recycled water item.
Yes, which is we'll also have to hear tomorrow on enforcement.
Right, enforcement report and the board meeting calendar.
Right, which requires a vote, so right. We can do that tomorrow.
Right.
But I think we're in good shape time-wise, and in fact, we're pretty efficient. So it is 5:05. And this concludes our September 21st Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board meeting, and we will reconvene tomorrow, same place, same time, 9 a.m. Thank you.